I just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it, this is where it goes down. I just happen to come up hard. Legal or illegal, baby, I gotta make it.
I never took a straight path nowhere. Life's full of twists and turns, bumps and bruises. I live, I learn. I'm from that city full of yellow cabs and skyscrapers. It's hard to get a start in these parts without paper. Homie, I grew up in hell, a block away from heaven. That corner ain't 15 minutes, it move a 7. Pure snow, bag it, then watch it go. Occupational options, get some blow or some hoes. Shoot the ball or the strap, learn the rap or the jack. Fuck it, man, in the meantime, go ahead and pump a pack. This my Regal Royal flow, my James Bond bounce. That 007, that 62 on my count.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Show. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, and I am so glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some good game on today's show. The phone number, for those who do not know, is 818-850-5404. I want you to call in. Haven't taken calls in a minute, so I like to chop up some game with the listeners. And today's show, we're going to talk about Jim Crow 2.0. That's the topic of today's show, Jim Crow 2.0. And we will get right on that after these messages right here on Tariq Elite Radio.
K-Soldier, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com. Jazzy Hair. Now, they offer the finest quality virgin Brazilian hair extension products that allow individuals to have that full body of hair they always wanted. Now, they specialize in authentic virgin Brazilian hair extensions, and they have many textures to choose from. Now, their hair is 100% unprocessed, and it has extremely high quality. They got great customer service, and they have fast delivery. Check out their website at jazzyhair.com. That's J-A-Z-E-E hair.com. Follow them on Facebook at jazzyhair.com or call them at 832-901-2603. Now, you use the coupon code Tariq10 and get 50% off on shipping. That's jazzyhair.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, everybody? We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show, and I am a gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, ready to chop up some good game with your family. Don't forget, everybody, Hidden Colors 3 is coming to theaters in 3 weeks. We got 3 weeks left. It's going to be in select theaters all across the country, and you can go see Hidden Colors 3 one night only in most of the cities. It's going to be one night only. That's going to be on June 26th. And the theaters you can go to on June 26th are the Midtown Art Theater. That's in Atlanta. In Baltimore, Maryland, you can go to the Senator Theater. In Detroit, on June 26th, you go to the Main Art Theater. In Dallas, Texas, you go to the Magnolia Theater. In Jacksonville, Florida, that's going to be at the Ritz Theater. In Los Angeles, it's going to be at the Music Hall Theater. In Miami, it's going to be at the Betty T. Ferguson Complex. In Minneapolis, it's going to be at the Landmark Lagoon Cinema. In New York City, it's going to be at the Cinema Village Theater, and it might be at Village East, which are two different theaters. So we'll have that announcement later on this week. In Oakland, it'll be at the Piedmont Theater. In Philadelphia, it'll be at the Ritz Theater. In Washington, D.C., it's going to be in two places, one at the Avalon Theater, and the other one will be at the Bethesda Row Cinema. It'll be playing around 7 o'clock in all of these cities. Now, on Friday, June 27th, is going to play in Atlanta again at the Plaza Theater. Also in Chicago, it's going to play June 27th, that Friday, at the Ice Chatham 14 Theater. So you go to Hidden Colors Film, get your advance tickets now. These things are going to sell out, so it will behoove you to get your advance tickets right now. and they're on sale right now at all the theaters. We got all the links at HiddenColorsFilm.com. You don't want to miss it. We really need Hidden Colors right now more than anything, because Jim Crow 2.0 is back, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later on the show. But let's get a couple of calls and see who we got on the phone. Let's chop up with the family. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq? What's up, Tariq? This is JD from North Carolina, man.
What's up, JD? How you doing, fam?
Nothing much. I've been trying to get in touch with you. I'm going to keep it brief. I want to ask you a question. I want to say something after. Do you think if just the white media and white people talk about black-on-black crime, if they didn't talk about it that much, do you think black people would really care about black-on-black crime?
Well, black people really just mirror and parrot a lot of stuff said by the dominant society. The whole black-on-black crime thing, that's a con game that they've been running on us, and black people will fall for that nonsense hook, line, and sinker. There's no such thing as black-on-black crime. You just have crime. People commit crime to those who are closest to them. When they say black-on-black crime, that's a way to make or try to make black crime somehow unique. And it's not. The same level of crime happens in the black community that happens in the white community. They never point that out. And in the same thing in the Latino community. It's the same exact crime rate. So the black on black crime thing, it's something that the dominant society used to justify practicing systematic white supremacy. So we got to understand that con game.
Tariq, I think I got three things I think that could probably heal the so-called crime in our community.
Yes.
Do you think if we properly educate these brothers, give them the step of giving these inferior educations, give them strong black role models,
let me stop you right there, because right when it comes to talking about black crime, everybody starts spitting out a bunch of damn slogans and cliches. The only reason why there is crime in black areas is because of lack of jobs and employment and lack of an economic base. Okay, but yeah, all that, we can have be the most educated whoever. I know I've seen dudes in jail who are geniuses, but they didn't have nowhere to apply their genius, so they had to hit the bricks.
Exactly.
They had to hit the streets. So we got to have an economic base. There's no way around that. We can have as many community centers. We can talk. We can run our mouths. We can have food drives. We can have toy drives. We can have this and counseling and all that. We need an economic base. That will stop that crime overnight. And those in the dominant society, they understand that. That's why you never hear them talk about that.
Overnight.
You feel me? All right, but thank you for the call,
okay,
man.
Thank you so much, brother.
All right. Brother got quiet. I got a little deep on him. The brother got quiet, and he paused in mid-thought. But that's all right, brother. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, this is Shadow out of California.
What's up, Shadow? What part of Cali you in, homie?
San Francisco.
Yo, up in the Bay, man. You going to the Piedmont Theater in Oakland on the 26th to see Hidden Colors 3?
Hey, I don't know if I'm going to be in town, but that's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing.
Where you gotta go, Shadow? With a name like Shadow. Where the fuck you gotta go, man? You sound like a superhero. You gonna be out of town fighting crime, nigga?
Hey, you know what? I just called to give some love.
Go ahead.
Bottom line is this, you know, chopping up game. I appreciate that.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Each one teach one. And if men don't teach other men and young men how to do it, then ain't nothing gonna happen. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk. Absolutely, man. Much respect on that, Shadow. And thanks for the call. But again, man, try to get to the premiere of the movie, man. You're going to really enjoy it.
Hey, one love, man. Have a wonderful night.
Much respect. Take a name of Shadow. He sound like a real superhero. He almost got offended. Sound like I was about to blow his identity. He's like, hey, motherfuckers ain't supposed to know I fight crime. They don't supposed to know my name. What's up? Who's calling?
Oh, what's up, King Flex? This is Cali Cran.
Cali Cran, how you doing, fam?
What's up, man? I just called to appreciate what you're doing, man, for real. Like, I be listening to you all the time. I'm 21 and all that.
Yes, sir.
I'm from Jersey.
You're from Jersey, but your name is Cali Cran? How'd you get that name?
Nah, because out here, Cali means smoking, like weed and stuff. I smoke a lot, so that's my nickname.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what they call me out here.
Okay. Well, what you doing smoking all that weed, man?
Yeah, I don't smoke. I just do what I got to do to, you know, get time by.
Dude, what you need to do is put that weed pipe down, and, man, let's get some building going on. You can't really get your hustle on smoking all the time, man. You got to put that weed down and get out here and get some paper stacked and get an economic base, man. We can't really do nothing high all the time. You feel me?
Yeah, Yeah, I feel you. I understand that.
Because, I grew up with dudes who would get high all the time. And I didn't get high because of them, because them niggas would get high and do all types of crazy rah-rah shit. And they were never really productive. So it's very difficult to be productive high all the time. So I really got to get on brothers' cases about that, because that just being high and in a stupor and just walking around like robots, we got to do better than that. It's too late in the day. We back in Jim Crow 2.0, so we got to be real alert and see what's popping right now, because they got some shit for us, and we got to be on top of our game. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you, definitely.
You going to Hidden Colors 3 premiere out there in Jersey? Let me see, what's the nearest location to you? We got New York, Philly. What's the nearest location to you?
I'm by New York.
Okay. All right, well, you definitely got to go to the premiere on the 26th.
Oh, yeah, I'm with that. Yes, I haven't seen Hidden Colors 1 or 2 yet. I got to check that out.
You ain't seen Hidden Colors 1 and 2?
No, I got to check that out.
How come you haven't seen Hidden Colors 1 and 2 already?
Yeah, I just haven't checked it out. I heard a lot about it, but I didn't check it out
yet.
You know why
you haven't checked? Because you've been spending all your money on weed. Dude, if you can get a sack a day, because you sound like you got a habit every day you smoke. If you can get that sack every day, you can go to Amazon.com or HiddenColorsFilm.com and get Hidden Colors 1 and 2. You need to get that tonight, dude. There should be no excuse for you. None. You feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
Get that tonight off HiddenColorsFilm.com and watch it so you can step your game up. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Okay,
all right, brother. Oh, man. Come on, man. Y'all can't be... We ain't got time for that, family. You know, let's handle some business and then get high. Let's get shit popping. Let's get an economic base. Let's build something. Let's get some sort of justice going on. Let's just get something popping within the community. Then y'all motherfuckers just get high until you blew in the face. But high time ain't it right now. Motherfuckers got to know when to put the pipe down and handle business. And get focused. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
I'm from Claremont, California. What's up, brother?
What's up, Playboy? What's your name, man?
She Brown.
She Brown?
She Brown.
C Brown.
C Brown.
Okay, like
the... C...
Wait, spell
like
that.
Like C is for cookie. C is for cookie.
Okay, C, B... Okay, okay. What does the C stand for?
Clarence. I got one of them old school names. I'm Clarence Brown III. So.
Woo! Not Clarence Brown III.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got to cut it short.
Oh, yeah. I said this nigga done made him a nickname. I'm like, ain't nobody named C. Usually when people have initials as their names, they're trying to hide something. I ain't mad at you, brother. Carry on the name. Yeah. Carry on that Brown legacy, brother. So what's on your mind, man?
Yeah. Nah, man. I'm just saying these Caucasians is out here tripping hard now, man. They really showing their race card.
Oh, heavy, yes, you know, indeed.
Because I was like, it kind of, you know, I grew up in a production outside of Philadelphia.
Wait. You grew up somewhere where the phone service is fucked up. I know that because I can't hear hardly.
Yeah, yeah. I got that Boost bullshit. Let me go step outside and get a signal.
Yes, indeed.
Nah, I grew up outside in the suburbs of Philadelphia, right, around a lot of white people.
Yeah.
And what I noticed was when you got poor white people, they're more racist than the wealthy whites.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And because I remember we would be able to go over and go swimming at like wealthy white people's houses. But then when you would go across the tracks in the area called Delaware County, they would have these things called.
I'm playing some music for your name, Clarence. Go ahead.
Oh, Clarence. But anyway. What these people would do is they would set up these swim clubs.
Yeah.
And this one family had adopted these two black children, and they were members of the swim club. And they were like, "Oh, you can't bring them up in here." And the parents were like, "Well, what do you mean we can't bring our children up in here? We're members of the swim club." And then they had to explain, "Well, we got a no black clause." They sued the club, but they ended up losing in court because it's a private club. They can exclude whoever they want to exclude.
Oh, they lost the case? Wow.
Because it's a private club, and that you can exclude whoever you want to exclude from the private club.
Wow.
So it's like, I'm not surprised to see this woman go off on this wild-ass tirade up in New York.
Absolutely.
Calling this man the N-word like a million times.
Absolutely. I'm going to play that clip, too, so people can understand what we're talking about as far as that. But, yeah, people are real. That whole swimming thing, that's always been a very taboo thing with white supremacists, not being
in
the water.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you why, because we had a swim class when I was in ninth grade, and we had to wear Speedos.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? I was kind of developed.
Yeah.
So, like, the little white girls would, you know, would want to dance with me and grind up on me at the dances. So I learned that at an early age that, you know what I'm saying, the game that gets ran.
Exactly. Because it's almost like a sexual thing. You in those bikinis and Speedos, and the kids are playing with each other, and they don't want any kind of sexual feeling whatsoever. So it's real heavy. Even now, I go places, and I see when black folks get in the pool, white people will get up and get up out that pool. So that happens this very day. I've noticed that, especially when I go to Hawaii. I go to different hotels, and I see people from Africa or from different places get in the pool, and then all the white people will get out. That's a big thing. So we're back in Jim Crow 2.0, man, and a lot of black
folks. I agree.
We got to wake up and come up with solutions on what we're going to do to protect ourselves from the brunt of this, because playtime is over. All right, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things is what we got to do is we got to start working with these youths, you know what I'm saying, and getting in their heads and getting them out to see your movies. Because a few years back when you released Hidden Colors, you hooked it up, and you let some of the children from the group I work with come and see it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and that was you from I remember that. Yes, indeed.
I appreciate it so much for that, because you don't know how many lives you changed with that, because it almost like overnight it changed the consciousness of the people there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It was beautiful. You know? Yes, indeed. Are you coming to the premiere on the 26th?
Oh, hell yeah. I'm bringing my 10-year-old boy. I'm going to see my lady friend wants to go and bring her kids, too.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I'm saying?
Good looking out, man. So, hey, man, but thanks for the call,
Clarence. It'll just be me and him. If that's how we're going to roll, it'll just be me and my son, man. But thank you so much.
There you go. I got some music for you right here, Clarence. It's some old school. That's for you, Clarence, for that old school name, brother. Clarence. All right, player. Like this. That's Clarence. I want to lick you up. That nigga name was Clarence Brown, the third. That nigga sound like a name like that. That sound like a nigga who can make some good barbecue sandwiches. Man, that sound like a nigga who can fry the shit out some fish. Clarence Brown, the third. I ain't mad at you. Let me put back on my Mac and music. All right, let me get one more call, family. Then we'll chop up some game. And then I'm going to play the clips that everybody's talking about, because that's the gist of what we're talking about on the show. Real heavy stuff. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, my name is Malik. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
What's up, Malik? How you doing, fam?
I'm doing well. I just want to give you a shout out, brother. I love everything that you do.
Yes,
I have
sir.
All your books, have your lectures on tape.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to say, keep doing what you do.
Yes, indeed, man. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that, definitely. You going to the premiere of Hidden Colors out there in Minneapolis?
Definitely. I'm so excited about that. But I just had a quick question.
Go ahead.
I want I just want to say really quick, my phone real quick.
Go ahead.
Is it wise to deal with a female who has put in her head, and I'm talking about dealing with girls of other nationalities that talk about, oh, it's good to have fun with the black man, but we know that he's not going to be around, so it's not good to get serious, like their family's putting all that negative attention, like brothers ain't shit and all this stuff. Is it wise to deal with a female who comes from that background that's been taught that brothers ain't, and, you know, that are not, you know,
well,
in the most favorable view?
Now, it depends on why she's dating you. It all depends on why she's dating you. Because you can date anybody you want to date, but don't let them use you or to date you as some kind of fetish or to date you because they're being rebellious. You don't want to be nobody's experiment. And that's the thing with black folks. We let a lot of people come around us slumming. When people want to do some degenerate shit, they come use us for that. And you don't want to be nobody's degenerate guinea pig so they can slum around. So that's one thing. Again, that's a given when people's families, you date people from different nationalities and different races. A lot, you know, their families have those crazy ass stereotypes. And my thing is, it's very funny because a lot of these people come from poverty themselves. I know like Asian girls who be like, yeah, my mom don't want me to date black guy. But I'm like, didn't you motherfuckers live over in a tent in a hut somewhere in Thailand? I mean, exactly. How are you racist? So I'm looking at them like, you're not doing us no favor. I mean, you just got to look at it like that and let them know. Like, you're not doing me a favor by dating me. And
The reason why I ask that is because I've just got a relationship with a Mexican female.
Right.
And I've listened to your shows on how they view black men, I mean, in their families.
Right.
And I can tell you, it was like clockwork. I'll be at a family gathering, and I'm just listening to what they're saying, and I'm like, man, there's some fucked up shit going on. This stuff is just racist. You know, it's a shock. And I'm like,
let me explain something, man, because this is the deal. There are a lot of people in the Hispanic community who are damn near more racist than a full-blooded so-called white person, which there is no such thing as a so-called full-blooded white person. That's why there's no real definition as to what a white person is, but that's a whole different show. But when you deal with certain people who are not quite white, they have a tendency to be more racist in order to try to gain acceptance by the dominant white society. And a lot of Middle Eastern people are like this. A lot of Hispanic people are like this, especially a lot of Mexican people. Not all my Mexican brothers and sisters are like that. Not all, because I know some cool down ass Mexican people that's cool in the gang. But then you have those who can kind of pass. All they have to do is just kind of get rid of that so-called inferior Latino culture. And I say that's what the dominant society says to them. So this is why you get some Mexicans or some Latino people who will talk real greasy about black folks as a way to try to get in good or to get total acceptance by the dominant society. George Zimmerman is a perfect example of that. And this is what they do. They will assimilate certain people within the Latino community into white society. And that's what they're trying to do now, because what they do with different cultures, people who were marginalized, and when the white numbers start to dwindle, they start to bring in other nationalities and other ethnicities and then whiten them up. They did the same thing with the Italians back in the 1920s and 30s. They did the same things with the Greeks in the 1920s and 30s. They were looked at as non-white, but when the numbers of whites were dwindling, they had to bring them in and assimilate them into dominant white society. So they made them get rid of that inferior Southern European culture of theirs. And one way to do that was to show your disdain for black people. So you got to watch out for that and be very careful dealing with people like that. And again, I'm not talking about all my Mexican brothers and sisters or all my Latino brothers and sisters, but the ones who do want to get in good with systematic white supremacy, you got to treat them just like all the other white supremacists. You keep them at arm's length. You feel me? Is he here? Hello? Okay, I'm doing all that talking. This brother wasn't even on the phone. Okay, y'all niggas are calling me from these Boost prepaids. Let me get one more call and chop it up with the family. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Hello. This nigga phone right here. Hey, player. This nigga, he got an informant phone. This nigga got a snitch phone. He sound like he's telling the police what a kilo of cocaine is. Hello, nigga. Oh, this nigga snitching. I got a dude who's gonna sell me half a kilo of heroin. Hey, nigga, going once. Okay, look, people, y'all messing up the flow with your raggedy ass phone. Don't mess up the flow with the raggedy phone. Niggas calling up with informant phones. And somebody here right now, hear somebody sound like they riding a goddamn bike. What's up? Who is this?
Chris.
What's up, Chris? Where you at, man?
Man, I'm from Portland.
Where are you right now? Sound like you outside somewhere. What are you doing?
I'm inside, bro.
Okay, why your house sound like outdoors?
Well, hang on for a second. Let me try a different phone, man.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Okay, that's a little bit better. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. I was just calling about a couple of shows ago, man.
Okay, well, what's the word? What's up?
Okay, man, you were talking about the Ethiopians defeating the Italians back in 1896?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about the Battle of Ottawa.
Yes, indeed. King Menelik II.
That's right, exactly, man. It just brought me back some memories when I was reading the book, bro.
Oh, yeah. Are you from Ethiopia?
Oh, no. I was born and raised in Stockton, California, man.
Okay. I'm like, dude, you got an Ethiopian
head? No, I was reading a book, and what happened was when the Italians were defeated, I mean, they carried that stuff all the way up to 1935 when Mussolini got in power.
Yeah, they tried to get revenge. They were pissed off. They were pissed. They'd never forget. See, the thing is with black folks, we're always told to forget stuff. Look, if we give somebody an ass whooping, they ain't going to never forget. They keep reminding us. They are never going to forget.
But, yeah, man, I was just reading about it, about the atrocities that they did, because they were dropping, actually, was it mustard gas or poison gas on the Ethiopian soldiers during that war?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And the amazing thing was that when the brothers tried to go ahead and try to sign up to go to Ethiopia, the American government told them no.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But when it came to the Spanish Civil War, oh, yeah, you can go ahead and, yeah, you can serve, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was real janky stuff happening, man, but they got it together. And, you know, that's a page in history that we can learn from, man. Real heavy stuff. But anyway, man, thank you for the call, Chris.
Okay, bro. Hey, you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, brother. All right, let's get into some game. We're going to chop up game. I'm having fun with the callers and all that good stuff. But there's a lot of stuff we want to talk about. Like I said, man, we're back in Jim Crow 2.0. I know y'all have heard about Justin Bieber. He done came out with a couple of tapes that they done found some tapes of him calling folks nigga, singing songs about nigga this and joining the Klan. And there are a lot of people copping pleas for Justin Bieber. I talked about that on my Sunday's Ustream show. Not surprised by that. V. Stiviano just got jumped over in New York. Somebody jumped on her and called her a nigga. So much for her being all mixed and exotic. Because y'all know that's her whole thing. She's the mixed, exotic, Hispanic and all that. But when they start beating her ass, they start calling her nigga. And the reason they're doing this is because they see how weak black people are acting. You know how black people cop pleas for Donald Sterling? Black people acting weak, copping pleas for Donald Sterling, copping pleas for Justin Bieber, copping pleas for the Clive and Bundys, making excuses for systematic white supremacy. That's going to make you look weaker, and it's going to make people attack more violently. They're going to act out more violently because of this. Now, how is it? Now, Donald Sterling was he went to a church out here in L.A. He went to a church that was right in the middle of South Central. Not quite in the middle, but right smack dead in the hood. Right over there, I think it was 83rd and San Pedro Street. I know it was over there in the Blood Hood. It was right over there in the Mad Swan Blood Hood. And they deliberately chose like a church with a bunch of old congregation members, because I saw the footage, and I'm going to play some of the clip of the news story of him at this church, and it's so condescending. I mean, you should have gotten offended for Donald Sterling to go walk up in this church, and that's the whole thing. Whenever they want to pacify black folks, all people have to do is just go around us, go up in a church and pretend to pray or pretend to want forgiveness, and then we fall for that shit. Black folks always forgiving some other person except other black folk. We'll beat the shit out of other black people. You see videos every day of black people beating the shit out of each other. But when it comes to other people, we're very forgiving. All of a sudden, we want to be on that holier than thou. The Lord says, do the right thing. The Lord knows my heart. We get on that whole fake kick, which is a cover up for being cowards. But Sterling deliberately found this church. Somebody hipped him to it, that there's a lot of old church members there, because if there were younger church members there and he showed up, young folks, you know, they have access to, you know, Twitter, Facebook, social media. So people would have been tweeting and informing everybody in the neighborhood, like, hey, man, Donald Sterling is up in here. So that it might have been a problem. And I say might. But with all these older black folks up in there, it wasn't going to be no problem. There's a lot of older black people, man, are scared. They've been neutered. They've been spayed. They're totally neutralized when it comes to dealing with white supremacy. And that's very unfortunate because now a lot of young people are watching these older black folks and it's very embarrassing. You don't want to be like that. You don't want to sit up making excuses for systematic white supremacy, and when people talk about you crazy, you're sitting up making excuses for them. That's not what you want to do. You don't want to make excuses for injustice. Let me play this clip of Donald Sterling in the church. And he had the news come down, so it was a whole big publicity stunt. And most people are not buying this, but black people involved in this should be ashamed. And listen to some of the people talking.
To support this wonderful group.
Donald Sterling walked into church surrounded by his handler. A Baptist gospel choir and a passionate pastor welcomed the 80-year-old embattled Clippers owner. The senior pastor at the Baptist church invited him to the service after meeting Sterling through a mutual friend.
Now, I'm assuming he probably met him through the NAACP. The NAACP hooked him up. And on a side note, this pastor was on CNN the other day, still copping pleas for Donald Sterling. Oh, he ain't racist. Oh, Lord, he's a good man, Lord. He ain't racist. So Donald Sterling then obviously gave this old coon a nice little collection plate offering.
2 weeks ago, his sermon was about courage to face tomorrow, telling his congregation people need to forgive.
You forgive Donald Sterling?
Oh, yes. I can't have hate in my heart for nobody. I love everybody.
Okay. Now they're interviewing some of the church members, and the coon train is just right on time. I mean, this one woman literally sounds like a slave. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, no. Oh, yes. The Lord forgives. Oh, Lord. Let me play her.
To forgive.
You forgive Donald Sterling?
Oh, yes. I can't have hate in my heart for nobody. I love everybody because Christ loved me.
The 80-year-old disgraced Clippers owner made racist comments on private audio tape recordings with his alleged mistress, V. Stiviano, that were made public last month. It set off a firestorm of controversy.
Do you think he's doing this to kind of save his image at the last?
No. No, I don't believe that.
What do you believe?
I believe that he did the right thing by coming here.
Plenty. Oh, no, Lord. Oh, Lord, no, not Master Sterling, Lord. Oh, no. Don't you say those words about Master Sterling, Lord.
I believe that he did the right thing by coming here.
Oh, Lord, no, Lord, don't you say Master Sterling is a good, clean man. Lord, child. Fucking coons. This is what you don't want to be. Young black folks out there, I apologize for your ratchet, janky, coon parents, that this is what you have to look up to. I apologize for them. They've let you down. Listen to this.
A firestorm of controversy.
Do you think he's doing this to kind of save his image at the last?
No.
No, Lord, no.
I believe that he did the right thing.
Listen to that. Just a goddamn slave. Oh, no, Lord, no. Don't you dare say that about Master Sterling. And this same woman would probably beat the shit out of another black person for taking her hair appointment in front of her.
I come in here. Plenty of love from the congregation.
Okay, that's enough of that. But it's sad and it's sick that you got black folks out here getting down like that, copping pleas for racism, white supremacy. And then that brings us to the next story. Let me put my Mac and music on so I can explain what this is exactly. There's a story that's coming out of Buffalo, New York. There was a lady named Janelle Ambrose. I think it was around Buffalo, New York, somewhere in that area. And this story has gone viral since yesterday. It's all over the net. This white lady with her two children, they were coming out of a Dollar General store. There's a black man. The video starts with the black man filming them with his phone. I'm assuming it's his phone. And the lady is arguing with him because he started his car allegedly and scared the kids. So she's arguing with him, calling him all types of niggas. And I'm going to play the clip in its entirety. And I'm also going to play her response because she called up to a radio station. I think the station was in Buffalo. Shout out to Buffalo, by the way. Buffalo showed me a lot of love. The mayor of Buffalo gave me a commemorative plaque. Had to get that word out, struggling for a minute. A commemorative plaque stating Tariq Nasheed Day, which is November 1st. That's Tariq Nasheed Day in Buffalo, New York. And the brother's filming this lady. She's going off. She's calling him all types of names. And then she calls into a radio station after the video goes viral to kind of give her side. And she sounds even more racist in the radio interview. And I'm going to play that as well. And what's interesting, the guy filming her is a brother named Narvell Benning. Now, Narvell is a listener of this show, by the way. I chopped it up with Narvell. Narvell has a clothing company as well. I think he gave me some clothes before, but shout out to Narvell. I wanted Narvell to be on the show today and interview him to give his side of it. Hopefully, we can get brother Narvell to call into the Ustream show this Sunday. But Narvell, that's the homie. Narvell follows me on my Facebook page, and he's a listener of the show on the whole nine. And Narvell did the right thing by taping her. And let me play that clip right now. And this is the tape in its entirety.
I have her on tape calling me racist comments, called me a nigger in front of her kids.
They scared my children.
Well, it's cameras out here. And we'll see. Because we'll definitely be filing charges. Please call the cops.
Please
Thank you.
Do.
Please. Got everything on tape. Your voice, too. Calling me a nigger. If that's how you feel. You might as well go take care of your kids. Don't worry about me.
I know where my kids are.
Okay, good.
Don't touch.
Now, she has her back towards Narvell while he's taping her. She's on the phone like she's calling the cops or calling her husband or something.
I'm bringing your father down here.
Please do.
Now, the kid in the background is like, my dad is a cop. That's another thing. A lot of people, especially white supremacists, when they want to try to get one up over on a black person, they always have this relative who's that cop. My dad's a cop. My uncle's a cop. My mom's a cop. My granddad's a cop. My uncle's a cop. Somebody's always a cop or a lawyer in their family. You always hear that. Ain't shit. A family full of fucking hillbillies.
It's okay, buddy.
You don't like black people either.
Oh, that's good.
Now, she just said... Her son, my son don't like black people, or her husband don't like black people either. See that? Catch that. Let me play that again so y'all catch that.
It's okay, buddy.
He don't like black people either.
Oh, that's good.
Now she's still on the phone while he's filming her. She's going to start going off in a second. And the kids are just there. They're outside of a Dollar General store. Now, she looks like, you know, just a real haggard, methed out chick.
Yeah.
Now, she's supposed to be on the phone with the so-called husband. Now, Belle is still filming her. Then she starts getting
racism real belligerent. Alive and well. Amazing.
It sure is. It's disgusting when black people got it, too.
Really?
Really.
You called me a nigger, and I just supposed to sit back, huh?
Sure did. Scared the shit out of my kids.
You call me a nigger. I just supposed to
sure
sit back.
You scared the shit out of my kids.
By starting my
oh,
car.
Oh, fucking wow.
By starting my car.
Oh, fucking wow.
Amazing.
Oh, fucking wow.
Wow, you got your kids cursing at me too, huh?
Don't talk to my kids.
Wow, this is amazing.
Do not talk to my kids.
Okay.
Hello?
Now she's walking up
talk
to the car.
Talk to this fucking nigger right now. I am telling you, he's video recording me.
So talk to this fucking nigger right now. So she's on the phone right now with her so-called husband.
He scared the shit out of Anthony. Started in the car. He wanted to run his mouth talking about BB and a trashy mother. Fucking say
really?
Something to
I
him
said
now.
That.
He's got me on videotape, and I'm still flipping the fuck out.
You called me a nigger.
I called you a nigger. You're a nigger. Nasty fucking nigger.
Okay. You might want to get
because
your...
Because he's a fucking loser, that's why. He thinks he's going to get something out of it.
Oh, no wonder. I don't sue people.
Oh, he knows the cops? How many cops have I stripped for? You ain't getting...
Oh, She said, how many cops have I stripped for? So this little old raggedy haggard thing is or was a stripper. Now, she clearly looks like she's on that pipe. Like, you know, she looks like a meth head. But she's still spewing that white supremacy.
Oh, he knows the cops. How many cops have I stripped for? You ain't getting fired, bitch.
Okay.
Tell him, dude. You will fucking kill him. Don't even fucking... I'm telling you
so
right
now. So now she's threatening Narvell's life. You see that? And y'all remember a few years ago when there was a postal worker, a black postal worker, there was a white lady, I think somewhere in Boston, who did the exact same thing. She wanted to get the mail from the guy. It was something she was arguing with him about, and her voice even sounds like this lady. You notice that a lot of white supremacists, especially the females, they all have that same nasally sounding voice, and she was saying the same thing. You nigger thief, well, we'll kill you. That whole lynch mob, Jim Crow shit.
It's very, very good.
I will fucking yank his ass out of the car.
Please do.
I don't know. What? Because he wants to put it on YouTube, trying to act hard because I called him a racist? Because he's a racist, ignorant nigger? And tell him what? He's a racist fucking nigger? All right, you're done. My lawyer's involved.
Good. Thanks.
Stay here. My husband's coming.
Okay, sure.
She's walking off. She's still mad. And she's getting mad because Brother Narvell was real cool. And this is how you're supposed to handle these white supremacists now. You got to be cool. Just be cool, because what happens is that they're going to keep spewing the word nigger so that you will react, get physical. And the minute you get physical, they're going to go into victim mode. Oh, Lord, look what the big black man has done to me. They're going to go into victim mode. So Narvell did the right thing. He was real cool about it. So now she's flipping out because he didn't do anything. He didn't react to her. He didn't fall for the bait. She's trying to bait him. That's exactly what she's doing, and my brother didn't fall for that.
I told him you're coming. You're whooping his fucking ass. Get the video off my kids now, or I will fucking break it. I'm going to whip my coffee at him.
Go ahead.
He does not stop fucking...
And she's like, I'm going to throw, she has like some hot coffee. Now she's threatening to kill the guy, calling him all types of niggas, threatening to throw hot coffee on him, the whole nine. Now he rolled his window up to protect himself, rightfully so. And she's still talking shit outside the window. So let me see, I think that's pretty much it. Let me see. She's still yelling nasty nigga. He's still yelling. So anyway, so that's pretty much it as far as that. And this video has gone viral. It's gone viral, and rightfully so. And the thing is, this woman has violated the white supremacist rule. You're not supposed to let people know that you're a white supremacist. White supremacy is supposed to be subtle these days. That's the new Jim Crow 2.0 rule. So a lot of people in the dominant society, they're throwing her under the bus because now, you know, that's bad for the business of white supremacy. White supremacy is supposed to be refined. It's supposed to be covert. But what's happening is that so many black people are copping pleas. That's creating the leeway for people like this to come back out and be very overt with their racism and white supremacy. But my man did not fall for the bait. Now, this woman did an interview. I think the interview was this morning on a station out there in Buffalo, excuse me, and she had a chance to respond and give her side of the story, and this is her.
I just want to let you know that this is being recorded.
And this is WBLK 93.7 FM. Shout out to those brothers and sisters there.
And just wanted to give you an opportunity to, tell your side of the story. There's two sides to every story. And, you know, what we see in the video is what we see in the video. But you're claiming that there's something that transpired prior to everything being.
He almost hit my son.
He almost hit your son with.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He was parked. And basically, from what I understand, that's why I wanted to have Narvell on the show. Sound like he just started his car, and I guess it startled the kid, but that's not your fault. You start in your car. And she just basically wanted a reason to be racist towards a black person. That's what it sounds like. And again, with white supremacists, they love lying. White supremacists love to lie. They will lie like it's nothing.
With his car?
Yeah. and my son said something. I said, I'm sorry, Anthony. Some people are just ignorant. And then that guy goes, oh, really? And called me. I don't know what he called me. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you.
Wait. See that? He called me. She's about to make up a lie. She couldn't make up nothing yet. She's like, he called me. I don't know what he called me. But then she's going to pick back up on the lie. I just want y'all to catch her lies.
Almost hit my son with your car.
Okay.
Then he called me a crackheaded cracker.
Okay. Now, I don't think he called her that. I don't think he called her that.
But let me ask you. Let me just clear the air here and ask you.
I'm not a racist. Well, I have a black.
Listen to this fool. Now y'all heard the tape. You see, this is the funny thing. Nobody owns up to being a racist. We know racism exists. We know that it's real. We know that it's prevalent. But nobody's a racist though. Nobody owns up to being a racist.
But let me ask you. Let me just clear the air here and ask you.
I'm not a racist. Well, I have a black cousin.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
She's not a racist because she has a black cousin. Look at the logic there. It's like, I'm not a racist. I had a black person work for me. What the fuck does that have to do with you being a racist? You don't choose your cousin. How does you having a black cousin make you not racist? You can't choose your cousin. What's the correlation there? And how is the cousin? Well, is it a cousin through marriage? But you can't really choose your cousin. So how does that stop you from being a goddamn racist? Interesting.
Are you? I mean, do you have something against black people?
No, I don't.
Because I'm wondering how the term like nigger even came up.
He just pissed me off. I'm bipolar, and quite frankly, okay. If you look it up, nigger means an ignorant person.
Wait. Okay. People, the white supremacists, y'all notice this. Whenever people get taught or caught practicing white supremacy, all of a sudden they blame it on some kind of illness. With Elliot Rogers. They were blaming that him using all those racial epithets and killing people. That was, he has affluenza. Well, Donald Sterling with his racial epithets, he's a smart businessman. He's a thorough businessman. But when he gets caught being a white supremacist, all of a sudden, oh, he has Alzheimer's. Oh, he don't know what he's saying. He's sickly. Now with this woman, she's on a racist rant. Oh, I'm bipolar. Stop it. White supremacy is the sickness.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with race.
All right.
Wait, let me play that part again.
The term, like, nigger even came up.
He just pissed me off. I'm bipolar. And quite frankly, if you look it up, nigger means an ignorant person.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with race.
Okay, let me stop that lie, too. Let me get into that one real quickly. Now, it does have something to do with race. She was being racial when she said it. Remember on the first clip I played, she clearly said, my husband don't like blacks either. So she made it racial. She wasn't talking about nobody being ignorant. She was very specific about it being her and her people not liking black people either. She clearly said it. So now she's backpedaling, talking about it wasn't about race. This is why we got to film these white supremacists out here. The video camera is kryptonite to a white supremacist because they will lie like it's nothing. Everything about what this woman said was about race. And when people use that other lie saying, well, the dictionary says a nigger is an ignorant person. No, the nigger means it's directed towards black folks. If it means an ignorant person, well, how come other people are not called niggers by white people? Always ask them that question. If nigger means an ignorant person, how come whites don't call each other nigger? As a derogatory term, as a negative epithet. See, that's why when I use the word nigga, I spell it differently. I use it N-E-G-U-S. When I say niggas, I'm talking about my niggas. You know what that means? Niggas, N-E-G-U-S. See, a lot of black folks spell it N-I-G-G-A. No. Y'all spelling it wrong. Y'all mean the right thing, but you spell it wrong. See, black folks, we use it as a term of endearment. All you got to do is spell it the right way. N-E-G-U-S. Negus. Negus means king. That's an old Ethiopian word. That's an old ancient African word for king. So if anybody calls you a nigga, first you ask them, are you calling me a king? Well, if you're not calling me a king, what are you calling me? Because when people start to use that excuse, well, rappers call each other nigga. Well, black people, no, I say, well, no. We're calling each other niggas. N-E-G-U-S. That's a real word with a real history. See, y'all got to understand how to word things correctly, family. Words are very important. Know how to word things.
All right, but
it's okay for him to call me a cracker and a honky, though.
Okay, and that's another thing. When people start saying that, that's another comment. Now, he clearly didn't call his woman no damn honky. I haven't heard somebody call somebody a honky since the 1970s. That nobody really uses the word honky no more. So when a lot of white supremacists are trying to lie on black folks, that's the one they like to use. Well, it was a black guy was coming out of Starbucks and he called me a funky hunky. And no, they didn't. But she's trying to justify her calling this man nigger over and over again, which is on tape. We heard the tape.
That's racist.
No, that's not okay. It's not okay. But I do have to ask you, because I heard you say to him, they don't like black people either, referring to your kids.
Oh, because my son was sitting there talking. He was yelling at him.
You mean,
oh, what'd he say? Good parenting? I was like, my son doesn't like you either.
Yeah, well, you said your son doesn't like black people.
Oh, well, I don't even know what I said. I was pissed off.
Okay, see how flippant and dismissive she is? Oh, I don't know what I said. You know exactly what you said.
You're pretty upset. Well, you know, this, unfortunately,
don't touch them, they're yucky.
Unfortunately, we live in the age of, people have cell phones and they tape things and put them on YouTube and things.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. And now my ex wants to try and take my kids. So this has been a very fucking great day for me.
Oh, man.
I think she said her exes are trying to take her kids. I don't know how many kids this woman has.
Well, just once again, you have a captive audience. We're going to put this on the post so that it'll balance things out with your rendition of what took place. So, you know, just go ahead and say,
I'm really not a racist. I was just pissed off.
Just say whatever you want to say to people in terms of what happened and in terms of who you are and what you want people to know about you. Go ahead. Janelle?
I'm sorry.
Okay, with the fake-ass crocodile tears, that whole trying to be the victim after you'd done some real foul that backfired on you, what she tried to do, let me tell you something. White supremacists are not dumb. They're not bipolar. They didn't forget anything. She was trying to bait that brother into doing something so she could play the victim. You see, she's trying to play the victim now, and it's not really working. And she's mad that her baiting attempt, it didn't work. She was trying to bait this dude to lashing out, even calling names. If he was verbally going off on her, she could have used that. I felt threatened. She could have used that. But the brother was real calm and real cool. So that's why she's making up stuff. He called me a crackhead, cracker and a hunky. No, he didn't. And she's with the fake crocodile tears. Listen to her.
I'm just not a racist. If he didn't try and almost hit my kid, none of this would have even happened. But then to call me a crackheaded cracker.
Please.
Well, let me ask you a question. If the guy were standing right here with me right now, what would you want to say to him?
Honestly? For ruining my life right now? For me about to lose all my kids? You want to know my answer?
No, Janelle, whatever your name is, you ruined your life. If they're going to take your kids, they're going to take your kids because people see that you're a meth head. You're trailer garbage. That's why your kids are going to be taken. It's that whole victim thing. All the blacks, the blacks have done this to me. It's the whole black person has victimized me. You see, she wants to be that victim. When they deal with us, they so desperately want to get in victim mode because they know that they can get sympathy. But it ain't working for her because my man was smart enough to tape it and he was smart enough to be cool when he did it. She did all this to herself. Those words came out of her mouth. Her little white supremacist trick just didn't work.
It's not a very wise one.
Well, I don't mean with respect to him posting it on YouTube.
He has no business posting anything, especially of my children, on the fucking internet.
Well, what I'm asking you is, what would you say to him in terms of you, you know, calling him a nasty nigger?
What? Am I supposed to apologize?
You're not supposed to do anything.
Ooh. So this woman, she said she was bipolar. This woman ain't sorry at all. She meant every word of that, and she means it now.
I'm just giving you the opportunity to say whatever you would say to him.
I'll apologize for him almost hitting my kid and me losing my temper.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, we'll take a bath in a minute.
Well, I'm gonna post this on the website so that people will know that there's another side to the story. Okay.
Well, nobody cares, but thank you.
All right. Well, take.
I read all the comments.
Well, you never know. I mean, your side of the story hasn't been told, so. There's, like I said, there's two sides to every story, and you've just told yours.
All righty, thank you.
All right, so that's the end of that. So this is where we are, family. We're back in, this is Jim Crow 2.0. This is Jim Crow 2.0. I mean, if you look at the times now, what the hell is different now than was different back in 1960? Really, what's different? Other than the signs are down, the wording of Jim Crow from the 60s, it's been changed. All they did was just change the words. They just took the white supremacy off paper. Well, they didn't take it off paper. They just took the word black and white off paper, and they reworded everything. And then they allowed black people to spend their money with the dominant society. Those are the only main differences. Other than that, the same white supremacist doctrine and ideology is still there. The same second-class citizenship is still there. And it's going to get even worse. Black people are going to continue to be more marginalized. A few days ago, there was a... they found a mannequin, I think it was in St. Louis, I think, or Kansas City, either Kansas City or St. Louis, one of those places. On the freeway, there was a Barack Obama, a mannequin with a mask of Barack Obama hanging from a noose off the freeway. So people are giving these code words and signals to go all the way back to Jim Crow. And we keep going into this racial circle. We appear to make a little progress, get comfortable, then go right back in the circle and start back at square one. We want better schools. We wanted the schools to not be segregated. So we fought for integration, got temporary integration. They then came up with special ed, funneling kids into special ed behavior classes, taking white kids into charter schools and private schools. And now we're right back at square one. Poor, segregated schools. Black kids go to these raggedy little schools off in the boondocks somewhere in the inner city. White kids go to private schools with better funding. So the thing is, we got to focus on the paper. We really got to focus on the paper. That's the most important thing. We keep going into this circle and not making any progress because we want a whole bunch of intangible items. We want things like integration, equality, things that are not really tangible. We got to get some paper going on, family. We really got to get some paper going on. We got to get an economic base. There's no ifs, ands, buts around it. Just like the gentleman who called earlier on the show, we need more education. No. We got all that. We got to get an economic base. We're going to have to start building structure, economic structure, businesses within our communities. That's what we have to do so we can protect ourselves from these blatant white supremacists out there that's popping up every goddamn week. Every week there's a new crazy white supremacist symbol popping up. It's what, this week alone it was like three. Justin Bieber, we done found out he's a white supremacist. Yes, he is. All those little nigga jokes around his white friends, that makes you a white supremacist. Justin Bieber gets no pass from me. With this lady, she's the white supremacist. We got Sterling going around the black churches with his fake ass nonsense. So these, every week, we have some type of white supremacist coming out of the closet or being outed. And it's going to continue to happen unless we address the problem or get into a position to protect ourselves from that. This is why we need an economic base, because we're dependent on so many other people in the dominant society. We don't know who the white supremacist is. There was another case. I don't know what city this was in, but I saw this on my Facebook page. There were some workers at some company, and the supervisor is at the job talking crazy, telling them the black folks, they can't drink from certain water fountains are for white people. I mean, this is right now, 2014, and this is happening at jobs. A supervisor at a company is telling black employees this, treating the black employees differently, verbally telling them certain things. They can't do certain things that white employees can do. So we got to get an economic base so that that will minimize the brunt of systematic white supremacy, because our thing is trying to change folks and forgive. Okay, we can do that until we blew in the face, but that's not going to stop them from practicing systematic white supremacy. What are we going to do to protect ourselves? We got to create an economic base. We got to start doing things independent and parallel of the dominant society. This is why family, it's not just important, it's imperative that you take your family to see Hidden Colors 3, The Rules of Racism. This movie could not be more on time than right now. Nothing can be more on time than this movie. I mean, it's coming right on time. We only have 3 weeks. I wish it was sooner. Black people have been getting shitted on heavy this year. Ever since Trayvon Martin, ever since that case, that's when I started to do the movie Hidden Colors 3. When I saw that case go down, immediately I started working on Hidden Colors 3. I'm like, okay, black folks don't get it. It's about to get worse. That's the reason why I named Hidden Colors 3 The Rules of Racism, because when I saw black people, how they reacted to the Trayvon Martin verdict and the George Zimmerman, and how black people were upset for about a week and then kind of left it alone, I said, okay, this is going to be a problem. Black people leaving this situation alone, that just empowered and emboldened all the other white supremacists around the country. They're about to show their ass from this point on. And show their ass, they did. That's why I've been working on this film for the last year hard. And this movie is going to give you the game you need. You got to go see this film. It's not even a question. If you're a person, if you are a Melanese person, all my melanoid Melanese brothers and sisters out there, you got to go see this movie. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get the show times for June 26th and June 27th. It's only going to be in two theaters in June, on June 27th. It's going to be at the Plaza Theater on June 27th and the Ice Chatham in Chicago on June 27th. But everywhere else is going to be Thursday, June 26th. Go see that movie. And if you don't have Hidden Colors 1 and 2, get it right now. Start teaching your kids this, because that lady in this tape, that crazy ass lady, that white supremacist, look at what her kids are learning. Look at the garbage that her kids are learning. And it ain't just her. There's millions of people out here who think like this woman. Let's just be very clear. There are millions of people who think and act just like that woman who's not on tape. And they teach their children the exact same thing. And guess what? What happens if your children interact with hers? How do you think that dynamic is going to be? You need to give your children the tools they need to deal with that. Listen to what these people are teaching their kids. You're teaching black folks, you're teaching your kids forgiveness and love and all that, which is fine, which is what you're supposed to teach your kids. But you're not teaching your kids how to deal with white supremacy. That is a problem. And we go into that in Hidden Colors 3. Again, get the movie Hidden Colors 1 and 2. Don't forget to go see Hidden Colors 3, June 26th. Get your tickets now. It's going to be sold out in some of these places. Get your advance tickets now so you will be there. It's going to be history. It's going to be history. History making. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Much love, family. I'm going to chop it up with everybody on Ustream this Sunday. I will holla. Peace.